So, we're up to chapter 117 in Halal. We're going through Halal. What's unique about chapter 117, Kuf Yud Zayin, is that it's only two verses. It's the shortest perek in all of Tanakh. In all of Tanakh, it's the shortest perek. It only consists of two psukim. And so because of that, we're going to have to change the style a little bit. I thought it's deserving of its own class, as opposed to just doing this chapter along with another chapter. I thought it is deserving of its own class because I think there's an idea here that's being represented, and there's a certain idea that's focused on with regards to these two verses alone, and so I think it's worthwhile just to focus on these points here that are mentioned here. So we'll read it and we'll try to see what exactly the theme is, and there's also a big dispute as to how to read these two verses, these two psukim. So, let's go through each one. Halu es Hashem kol gayim, shabchuhu kol ha'umim. Praise Hashem kol gayim, all the nations. There is a dispute here whether all the nations refer to all the nations of the world, which I think is the simple explanation, all the nations of the world, the Gentiles, not the Jewish people. There is another opinion that says kol gayim is referring to the Jews. It's referring to the different, I guess, within the rulership of David, it had different parts. Let's say different shvatim, different tribes. So it could be referring to just the Jewish people and the different parts within the Jewish people. But I think the simple explanation, and really the explanation that we'll go with now, is that it's referring to the nations of the world. Not the Jews, but the rest of the nations of the world. They will praise Hashem. Shabchuhu kol ha'umim. And then it's just repeating itself that also they'll praise, they go ahead and all the people will praise Hashem. Ha'umim is not used so often. That term is not used so often, but it's referring to people in general. People in general, in a general sense, they will go ahead and praise Hashem. Why will they praise Hashem? This is referring to the times of Mashiach. This is talking about Yemos Mashiach. During the times of Mashiach, why are they going to go ahead and praise Hashem? In the second verse it says, Ki gavar aleinu chasto ve'emes Hashem le'olam, hallelujah. Ki gavar aleinu chasto. For Hashem has increased his chesed to whom?
To us.
To us. Who's us?
Well, is it the goyim or is it the yehudim?
Who's us?
All of us.
Maybe so that's the world, right?
Well, it is.
That's a good question.
David HaMelech is talking here.
King Israel.
B'nai Yisrael, and nobody's wrong here. I'm just letting you know. Whatever you say, you're not wrong. It's a dispute. It's a dispute exactly how to read this line. And it has a very big difference. It says, Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, Hashem has increased his chesed to us. Either it means to us as to the Jewish people. And if it's to the Jewish people, we're going to have to ask, why is it that the nations of the world are going to now praise Hashem for the chesed, for the kindness that Hashem does for the Jewish people, for us, for the Jewish people? That's a little strange. Why is it that Hashem? Why is it that the Gentiles would then praise Hashem for what Hashem does for us? So we'll get to that. The other way of reading it is to say that Hashem does chesed for the nations of the world, and that's why they're praising Hashem. The Emes Hashem le'olam, the truth or faithfulness of Hashem lasts forever. Haluka. Praiseworthy is Hashem. Okay, so this is referring to the fact that the nations of the world will ultimately praise Hashem in the times of Mashiach. And there is a contrast here between the nations of the world and the Jews, that the Jewish people will praise Hashem even before the times of Mashiach. They will praise Hashem before the times of Mashiach. The nations of the world, they will only really appreciate Hashem after Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, then they will appreciate Hashem. So just to point out, before we go further, when we talk about this, we're talking about this in a general sense. The nations of the world as a whole, that they won't really have an appreciation for Hashem until Mashiach. We're not talking about individuals. There could be individuals amongst the Gentiles that do recognize Hashem, that they do have an appreciation for Hashem. This is all just in a general sense. Overall, when we think about, we talk about the Gentiles, so then they don't have that appreciation that the Jewish people have for Hashem. And there's a this next source is the Netziv. So he's a later commentator on the Torah. He's I think 18th century, something like, no, he's later than that. He's late 19th, early 20th century. So he says as follows. It's he's going on the verse in Shmos. The verse in Shmos says that Moshe, at a certain point, he moved his tent, the Ohel Moed, to outside the Jewish people, where the Jewish people were living. He moved it outside. And the verse says that anybody that wanted to go ahead and search for Hashem, to be a Mevakish Hashem, to ask for Hashem, had to then go outside the Jewish camp and then go into his Ohel Moed, had to go into his tent. And the phrase that's used in the verse is Kol Mevakish Hashem, anybody that seeks Hashem. It doesn't say any of the Jewish people that seek Hashem. It just says anybody that wants could go ahead and seek Hashem. So he explains as follows. Why does it say anybody? Why doesn't it say anybody amongst the Jews? So he explains, and this is in source 2. He says, "Dezeh asher afilu l'umas ha'olam." He says, because this applies even to the Gentiles, even to the non-Jews. They are also included in Mevakish Hashem, those that could seek Hashem. And then he says, "Mikol shekein liyisrael, afilu b'shah she'olah." I'm not sure exactly what that line is. It's she'olah shelo tiyeh shechinah so imam. Even when the shechinah is not dwelling amongst them, amongst the Jews, mikol makom halo gam l'umos ha'olam hayanoach lavo lebeis hamikdash makom mesuga lahashras shechinah kemavura betfilas shlomo. He says that the nations of the world were also able to bring a korban, a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. They had that right to bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, because they had that right also to connect to Hashem. They also have that option to connect to Hashem, and so that's why here it says Kol Mevakish Hashem, that anybody that seeks Hashem, not just the Jewish people, but also amongst non-Jews, they also have that ability to go ahead and seek Hashem. And so it's true, the Netziv says this, and it's also true that on an individual level, the non-Jews also have that ability to seek Hashem and to recognize Hashem and to praise Hashem. But what we're going to be discussing from now is just really as a whole, as a klal. The Jewish people are able to recognize Hashem before the times of Mashiach. They'll recognize Him even more during the times of Mashiach. They'll have a better appreciation for Him. But we're able to do that even prior to that, before the times of Mashiach. But with regards to the rest of the world, the nations of the world, as a whole, they'll only be able to do that afterwards, during the times, after the times of, when after Mashiach comes. Okay, yes.
Shekhinah.
Shekhinah is the dwelling of Hashem. It's the resting of Hashem.
Within
the presence. It's the presence.
Or just Shekhinah bichlal.
There is, it's a great question. It discusses, the verse says, V'shachanti b'socham. Once we got the Mishkan, that it says v'shachanti b'socham, that so to speak, Hashem is dwelling within the Mishkan, and our rabbis tell us that it's not just that it's in the Mishkan, but you could make yourself personally as a vessel which is fit for Hashem to dwell within you, so to speak. It's not in a physical sense,
okay.
But it's for Hashem to you make yourself holy enough that it's as if you yourself are a Mishkan. You yourself is. You could be right. As if you're, yeah. It's a high level. High level.
That's an expensive piece of property.
Okay. So going back to these two verses. So the simple way of understanding it is as we pointed out, is that the chesed, they're praising Hashem for the chesed that they did to them, to the Gentiles. It doesn't fit so well within the language of the Pasuk. It says, Ki gavar aleinu, that which Hashem did aleinu, for us. So for us, who's talking here? It's the David is talking. It's for the Jews are talking. So it sounds like it's the chesed that's for us. But because of the difficulty within that, why would they praise Hashem for what Hashem did for us? So there are mefarshim, there are commentators who explain that it's really what Hashem does for them. The chesed that Hashem did for them, and they'll recognize the chesed that Hashem did for them throughout history during the times of Mashiach. During the times of Mashiach, they'll realize that Hashem also did chesed for them. That's one explanation. There is the other explanation, which is that it's the chesed that Hashem did for for the Jewish people. And for some reason, the Gentiles, the nations of the world, are now praising Hashem for the chesed, for the kindness that Hashem did for us. And for the rest of the time, we'll try to figure out why is it that they are praising Hashem for the chesed that they did for us. Why would they praise Hashem for that? Any suggestions why?
They're beginning to realize just how much Israel has accomplished in not just for Israel, but for everybody. They're beginning to realize that.
That how much they impacted the rest of the world as well. Okay.
You see that beginning now. Just a bit.
A bit. But you also see the opposite a little bit.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. A lot. When they started the state, they were hoping that this would be an ability to show how we could have our own country and that we'll be able to be an example for the rest of the world. But in the end, I mean, it is to a certain degree, but also there's a lot of attack against what the army does.
Huge,
so
I'm thinking about specific groups of non-Jews who are beginning to appreciate more and more what Jews have accomplished for them. Not just for themselves, but for the world.
So I think that's true. I think that is true.
Did you see the opening of the U.S. Embassy? Did you see that, the televised?
I didn't watch it, but I read about it. Yeah.
Okay, because there was a very prominent Christian there who said some very fine things.
Yeah.
And I turned it off at first. I didn't want to hear what he had to say, but then I was curious, so I went back. And more and more, there are non-Jewish communities who are doing this, and little by little you begin to see the evil, the people who have hated us and tried to terrorize us, that those were leaders of evil, but the people under them, who just knuckled under, are beginning to say, wait a minute. And a lot of them come over and say, Jews are good people and they've done a lot for us.
Yeah.
Particularly when Jews bring their babies to Israel to treat them, bring their wounded to Israel to treat them.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm. Yeah, from the neighboring countries that they come
exactly.
to Israel. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to appreciate the good.
Yeah. No, it is. No, there is a lot of good within that also. There is a lot of good within that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was thinking too, that there's an awful lot of elements out there that are already, and but you are saying it, on an individual basis, there are many people all over the world that when they look into either their own religion or just looking at the world, that they start to see, to realize little things. But because all of this, all the peoples of the world could be Jewish, could be following our way of thinking, our way of belief.
They could be, and they should be. There's an idea of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. There's the seven Noachai laws. That they also have a certain. They don't have the 613, but they have seven laws that they have to keep. It's even more stringent. Their seven laws are even more stringent than some of ours. So they have there, and there's also a group. There's a group of, I think, what do they call them? Like the Noachides, that they believe in Hashem. They don't feel the need to convert, and they shouldn't feel the need to convert, because they could also, where they're at, they could have a relationship with Hashem just based on what Hashem asked of them, which is the seven laws. So we do believe that the nations of the world should recognize Hashem, and that. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is for everyone to recognize Hashem. If you ever concentrate on Aleinu at the very end of davening, mm-hmm. which you say at the end of every davening. Mm-hmm. So if you go through Aleinu is exactly this. Aleinu is two paragraphs. The first paragraph is about how we, the Jewish people, should be praising Hashem now. Aleinu l'shabeach, for us to praise Hashem. And then the second paragraph is Al kein nekava l'cha. We hope in the future, if you go through it, it's about the nations of the world recognizing Hashem and praising Hashem, which is in the times of Mashiach, they'll go ahead and they'll recognize Hashem. We want them to recognize Hashem now. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a big question whether we have to be proactive about it or not. It's a separate question, but ideally, we would want them to to recognize Hashem. That's that is a goal. That's for sure a goal.
I had an interesting experience some years ago when a friend of mine from Sfat was visiting me. And she and I had both been doing as much as we could to fight hatred and Holocaust denial. And we had a meeting in my home of other people and of us and other people, Jews and non-Jews, who wanted to do the same thing. And as a result of that, we visited a non-Jewish home way out in Mission. It was a small farm. And they asked us what they could feed us, and we said, nothing, we'll bring. And they tried. They tried their best.
Yeah.
And we just were polite. But as we were being polite, we noticed some books that they had in a side room that included a heck of a lot of Maimonides, Rashi.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. And
I'm surprised by Rashi. Maimonides is...
Maimonides, yes.
Yeah,
we were surprised too.
Yeah.
And we began to realize, I was really hesitant about including these people in my life at all. Just, I'd had some horrible experiences. And yet they never, not once, in all the years I've known them, and I've known them for a long time now, tried to influence me to do anything that was not Jewish or to do anything that was negative or evil. They've just totally, wholeheartedly seemed to support Jews, the Jewish people.
Right.
And they've never tried to talk to me about Mashiach in their way.
Mm. Yeah.
It's been an interesting experience. I still don't fully trust them. But
yeah,
it helps to know that there is some goodness in the world that supports Judaism.
For sure.
I kind of see it like at a certain time, maybe like when like people's consciousness go up, maybe like at a certain time in the future or something, they'll see that like everything is good. Like everything Hashem did is for the good. And that's a real reason to like be thankful, right?
You think for the non-Jews
for the
as well?
Non-Jews,
I think so. But that's saying that the chesed is for them. That's going on the explanation that the chesed
for
is
everyone,
for them.
For actually, why can it be both? That's what I said.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. There's a Gemara that discusses this. This is in the source 3, and there's different ways to interpret this Gemara. So in the bottom of the page 1, Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Kishachala Rishmal b'Rabbi Yossi. When Rishol, the son of Rabbi Yossi, was sick, Shalach lo Rebbe, so he was on his deathbed, and so when he's on his deathbed, they wanted to just get something out of him before he's about to die. Just tell us something. So Emar lanu shnayim v'shlosha dvarim. Tell us two or three things before you're about to die. So this is his goodbye speech essentially. So we're just going to discuss one of them. And they're asking him to say something from his father. Not just his own words, but he's on his deathbed, and they want to hear something from his father, which they'll be able to pass on to the next generation. So they say, Shalach lo kach amar abba. So he responded back by saying, this is what my father said. Mai dechsev, what does it mean? Halu es Hashem kol goyim umos ha'olam. Mai v'disayu, what does it mean that the nations of the world are going to praise Hashem? What exactly are they praising Hashem? So they say, hachi kamar, this is what it means. Halu es Hashem kol goyim, what are they praising? Agvuros v'niflaos da'ovid bahadayu. They're praising Hashem for gvuros v'niflaos, the wonders and the mighty acts of Hashem that Hashem did for them, da'ovid bahadayu, that they did. Kol shekein anu de'gavar aleinu chasto. So then certainly us, we have that obligation to thank Hashem. So he says that first the nations of the world have to thank Hashem for the mighty acts that they did, that Hashem has done, and then certainly we have to go ahead and thank Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. Now, there's a big discussion. What was the question of the Gemara? Why are they thanking Hashem? They're thanking Hashem for what Hashem did for them. What's the question of the Gemara? Why would you think that they can't thank Hashem? So if you turn the page, this is more Gemara oriented here. If you turn the page, there's two commentators from the Gemara. This is source 4 and source 5. The source 4 says, "Umos olam mayav disayu." Lishvuchai. What do they have to praise Hashem? Mishim da'alinu gavar chasto ha'alon lishvuchai. Why is it saying that the nations of the world are praising Hashem? Hashem is doing the kindness to us. So the question is, Hashem does us kindness, so why would the nations of the world praise Hashem? And so the answer is, and this is just a continuation, agvuros v'niflos, on the mighty acts that Hashem has done, dechazinon she'asa ba'olam, that the nations of the world see what occurs in the world, the kol shekein anu, ki gavar aleinu chasto, yoser mikol uma v'lashem. So then certainly us, Hashem has done even greater kindness for us from any other nation in the world. So this explanation, which is going to be different than the next one, is that the nations of the world have to praise Hashem for the chesed that Hashem has done for them. Hashem has done kindness for them. And then that should trigger it that we also then go ahead and praise Hashem, because Hashem, he says, does more chesed for us than the nations of the world.
Hashem still exist.
We still exist, for sure. And Hashem does more chesed for us. The Gemara says that, it says it in both ways. It says, punishments happen because of the Jews. Punishments that happen even not to the Jews, but it happens because of the Jews. And the good that comes in the world is also because of the Jews. That's what the Gemara says. It doesn't mean that it's only because of the Jews, but the Jews play a major role. And the reason for that is because we have a heavy responsibility. As the Jewish people, we were on Shavuos. We were told that throughout history, we have this responsibility to follow the Torah and to act as an Or LaGoyim, as a model for the rest of the world in terms of how to act between people and also how to serve Hashem. And so because of that heavy responsibility, so then the good that happens in the world, the chesed that happens in the world is because of us for a large part. And also the punishments that happen in the world is also because of us. It's oftentimes difficult to understand it and to see it, but that's what the Gemara says. And so here too, it's saying that the nations of the world will see the chesed that happens to them, and then that should trigger that for us, we then also go ahead and praise Hashem. There's a very fascinating medrash, which I didn't quote, which says as follows on this verse. It says as follows. It says that first, the nations of the world, those that had no clue of Hashem during the times of Mashiach, they will be the first ones to start praising Hashem. The ones that knew nothing. Then the next group, the nations of the world that knew a little bit about Hashem, they were able to recognize Hashem a little bit, then they will go ahead and start praising Hashem. And then the Jewish people will see what's going on, and then they'll go ahead and start praising Hashem. And then it ends off by saying, and the land of Israel will then see that everyone is praising Hashem, and then the land itself will also praise Hashem. That's what the Medrash says.
How would the land praise?
I'm not sure if it's literal. I don't think it's literally that they'll praise Hashem, but I guess it's an idea that everyone is coming together to go ahead and praise Hashem. That there's this everyone within the land is praising Hashem.
It brings you back to the statements of the mountains jumping for joy and the rivers turning backwards and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving you like a certain picture, a certain imagery of what's going to occur. So it's very interesting. It's the same thing that this commentator is saying, that one group then triggers the next. And it's specifically, it's also, I think it's fascinating that the first group that does it, the first group that praises Hashem is the one that knew absolutely nothing, which is interesting because I guess for them to see the contrast of how they thought their lives were and what the purpose of their lives, what they thought it was to what it really should be, that contrast triggers them that they're the first ones that will praise Hashem. They'll praise Hashem because they recognize the contrast so much more than anybody else, any of the other groups. So they'll go ahead and praise Hashem, and that will trigger the next group to then go ahead and praise Hashem. Look, the second group will say, look, they're praising Hashem, like, we should also praise Hashem. And then that triggers the next group to go ahead and praise Hashem. Until in the times of Mashiach, that's really the ultimate goal, where everyone recognizes Hashem and they see the goodness that Hashem has done to the world and for the world.
But why the people who know nothing?
Because there's a little bit of naivety and
I don't know if they know nothing or they were specifically against religion and against Hashem. I have to look back at the Medrash. But either way, the point is that they thought that their lives, whether it's because they were intentionally doing it or whether it was just against their, they were ignorant and therefore they didn't know about it. But it's a very large change. That's a big change.
Gigantic,
it's a big shift.
Yeah.
for them. It's bigger than those that do recognize Hashem.
Okay.
So for them to go through that shift, so they'll be the first ones to go ahead and praise Hashem.
Thank you.
So that, it's a fascinating medrash. Now let's get to the second commentator, Rashi. He says, what's the Gemara saying? Umos ha'olamai of disayu. What are they going to say? What are the nations of the world going to say? L'shvucha, to praise Hashem. We should go, gavar aleinu chasdo ha'alon l'shvucha. Hashem has done chesed to us, to the Jewish people, so why are they praising Hashem? And so he answers by saying, agvuros v'neflos, the mighty acts of Hashem, dechazisu, that they see sha'asa li. The nations of the world, they see the kindness that Hashem does to the Jewish people, and then they will go ahead and praise Hashem. So, again, so why are they praising Hashem for the kindness that they see that Hashem has done to the Jewish people? So I'll give two explanations. We addressed this a little bit, but two more explanations. One is from a story that I read. This question was asked by a general in a Russian general asked this to one of the heads of the Volozhin Yeshiva. The Volozhin Yeshiva was a famous yeshiva. So that one of the Russian generals asked one of the heads of the Volozhin Yeshiva, what does it mean, Halu es Hashem kol goyim? What does it mean, our verse, that the nations of the world will praise Hashem, ki gavar aleinu chasto, because of the kindness that Hashem does to you. Like, if you're part of the nations of the world, if you're that Russian general, you'd be offended by that. What do you mean, I have to praise Hashem for what he does for you? So he responds back, and it's so true nowadays. Maybe it's even truer nowadays than it was when he said it. He said, yeah, you're going to praise Hashem because only you're the enemy. You know how much kindness Hashem does for us because we don't know how all your plans are foiled and how everything falls apart. We don't realize how much we're being saved. You, the enemy, you realize how much we're being saved. So ultimately, you're going to praise Hashem for the chesed that he does for us because we don't know what the chesed is. You know, and it's so true nowadays. We don't realize how much our enemies try to attack us, but so many times they fail, and we have no clue about it. So they'll be the ones that praise Hashem. So that's one explanation, and that's how he responded to the Russian general. I'm not sure exactly how the end of the story goes, but
it sounds like the Russians would be the people the first group of people who...
The first group, yeah, they'll be that first group, yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Yesterday there was, with all the trouble that's going on in Gaza right now, and there was one thing where they were taking some guy to go and bury him, one of the guys that got killed in the protests, and while they were taking him, they didn't remove his suicide bomb. And it blew up.
Are you serious?
And
wow.
Killed the five guys that were carrying him to the
wow.
funeral. So it's kind of
interesting. Yeah, it's like
you
yeah.
know, it's there's an irony there if
wow.
for sure.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like okay.
Yeah.
So there was one enemy, and they took out five of their own.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happens so often that we just don't know. We don't know what Hashem does to prevent the enemies from succeeding in their mission.
Wild concept.
So that's one explanation. The second explanation comes from the Brisk Rav. He's one of the Soloveitchiks. So he explains that there are two aspects to tefillah. There are three aspects to tefillah, but two aspects in terms of praising Hashem. One is a personal praise, that when something happens to you, like there's a concept of saying Birchas HaGomel. If something happens to you, you're in a dangerous situation,
mm-hmm.
and you go and you survive it, so then you're supposed to make a Birchas HaGomel. You're supposed to make a public bracha, an announcement thanking Hashem. That's something that happens to you personally. But then there's also Shevach. There's a concept of Shevach, of just praising Hashem for what he does in the world. And that doesn't have to be personal. That doesn't have to be personal. That's just recognizing that Hashem is involved in the world. So he says that when Hashem does chesed for us as the Jewish people, so we, the Jewish people, have responsibility to thank Hashem on that first level, that level of a personal thanks, a personal thanks to Hashem for what Hashem has done for us personally. But that's still, you still have that second aspect where the nations of the world could recognize the chesed that Hashem does, even if it's not for them, even if it's not personal, but just to recognize that Hashem does chesed for others. even amongst Jews. So Hashem does chesed to one person and not to another person. Not that he doesn't do chesed, but you see the chesed for another person. You don't see it amongst somebody else, but you should still thank Hashem for the chesed that Hashem does for that other person, even if it's not personal. It doesn't necessarily happen to you, but you see it for somebody else. So that itself is deserving of chesed to Hashem, of shevach to Hashem, of praising Hashem. So the nations of the world, they will give shevach, they'll praise Hashem for what Hashem does, even if it's not personal, even if it's to somebody else. And then all the more so for us, we have to praise Hashem for the chesed that Hashem does do for us personally, that we have to give that personal thanks to Hashem.
You said this was from Soloveitchik?
Not Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, which is probably the one that you're familiar with. It's his uncle. His uncle said this. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's also quite heavy. So I wanted to close with this last source. This last source is also the Netziv. It's the same commentator that we started off with. The of the Yud Gimel Midos that Hashem has, the 13 traits that we give to Hashem. So in the beginning it says Hashem Hashem Kilrach Mechanan, and then it says V'rav Chesed Ve'Emes. He has lots of Chesed and Emes and truth. He has lots of both. He has Chesed and Emes. And if you remember in the verse itself, it says Ki Gavar Alinu Chasto, Hashem has increased his Chesed, Ve'Emes Hashem, and the truth of Hashem is forever. It's lasting forever. So it's also there too. In our Tehillim, it says Chesed and Emes. It says both. So he explains what is this greatness of Chesed and Emes, of Chesed as being of kindness and Emes is of truth. So the Netziv explains the Rav, this abundance of Chesed and Emes, Kai Gam Al HaEmes. It's going both on Chesed, on his abundance of kindness and of truth. Umashmo, what does this mean? Ledrachov Eino Kedarke Bnei Adam. Demishu Rav Chesed Eino Rav Emes Lahanish Kemosha Magia. When it comes to people, it's very difficult to be a person who has abundance of Chesed, of kindness and care, and of truth. To have an abundance of both is very, you can't find that amongst people. Because if you're kind, so that means you're going above the letter of the law to help another person out. Truth is to act based on the truth. If somebody is deserving of punishment, so then truth will tell you to punish them. Kindness will potentially tell you to not punish them, to care for them.
Rabbi Dabrowski was both.
He was both. Okay. So they're individuals like that. So the Tziv says of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Avagav Shu Rav Chesed, even though he has an abundance of chesed, of kindness, Mikom Makom Hu Rav Emes. He also has an abundance of truth. He's able to be somebody who's true. Gavo Darche Hashem Darchinu. It's difficult for us to understand. That's what he says. And he says that's the explanation of this pasuk, of this verse. That when we say, Halu Es Hashem Kol Goyim Shabchu Kol Ha'umim, Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto V'Emes Hashem Le'olam. It says that Hashem has an abundance of chesed, but it's also of truth. And he says, "Ein hashevach me'umas ulam laKadosh Baruch Hu al shagavar al Yisrael chasto." The praise that the nations of the world have to Hashem is not because of his increase of chesed to the Jewish people, alhefach, but it's the opposite. Af al gav shagavar alinu chasto. He reads the verse totally differently. It says that even though Hashem has increases chesed for us, he has increased his chesed, his kindness for the Jewish people. Mikol makom ve'emes Hashem le'olam. Nevertheless, Hashem is also a God of truth. He provides chesed, he provides that kindness, but he also has that aspect of truth when he deals with us. That he deals with us, he punishes us sometimes, and that sometimes it's not all chesed, it's not all pure chesed, but Hashem does punish us, and he's able to do both. And that's why bishvil zeh hima misgabrim aleinu harbe itim. That's why many times the nations of the world are able to be stronger than the Jewish people because Hashem is also full of truth. And sometimes we're deserving of being on a lower level, that the nations of the world will be on top of us, and that sometimes we're deserving of that MS, of that truthful judgment. But that goes hand in hand with the fact that Hashem is full of chesed.
And it's examples?
What's an example for this? So it's hard to understand. It's hard to fully comprehend.
No,
but there's a concept of chesed that a larger there's chesed and there's also emes. it's a difficult topic to comprehend, but we don't understand it. But the Holocaust was some form of a punishment. We don't know what it is, and at the end of times, Yimoz Mashiach, during times of Mashiach, we'll have a clarity in it, but we don't understand it now. But it was some form of a judgment. But what came out of the Holocaust afterwards is that through that we got the State of Israel. That is how we. It was through that process that we ultimately got the State of Israel, which is an abundance of chesed, that we got that we have the State of Israel. Not to say that we couldn't have one without the other. I'm not saying that we had to have it, but that there was a process through history where we had the Holocaust, and it was a result of those events that we ultimately got the land of Israel. So that's an abundance of chesed, and at the very same time, an abundance of strict judgment. That is strict judgment, which we don't understand. But Hashem plays both roles, and oftentimes it is very difficult to see it. But we Hashem is both our Father, our Father of kindness, but he's also our judge. He's also the one that judges us. So that's how he explains this verse, that it's both MS and Chesed.
Thank you.
Maybe it's got to do with the idea of waking up to the being aware of what is going on, like when we were talking before, how there are elements now that you say that are waking up and starting to recognize and admitting the recognition of what Jews have given to the world, how Israel has promoted a lot of good things and stuff like that, that it's not always going to be so black and white, but when there are resurgences of neo-Nazis and etc. That it's not wise for us to just sit back quietly and hope that things will go nicely for us. We have to actually be actively involved in saying that's wrong and it cannot happen.
It was interesting to see Jew the horrific stuff in